Is there someone here today who will open our time with the invocation? Do we have a volunteer? I'll wait.
I'll do it.
Commissioner, let's all stand together. Commissioner Riley is going to lead us. Thank you, sir.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless this country, this county, and Lord, we ask that you bless this court, let us make decisions that will be pleasing to you. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag?
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Item number 5, let the record reflect that all are present here today. Do I have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any citizens who are here today that would like to make comment either on the consent or the open agenda? All right. Then let's move on. County Clerk, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from May 12th, 2020?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 9, the consent agenda. Are there any modifications to the consent agenda, commissioners?
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Let's move right on into our open agenda. The court will consider, discuss, and its discretion take action on the following items. Number 10, Office of Court Administration. Judge Grant?
Morning.
Morning. Chad?
We're here to ask you to approve an increase in the salary for our administrative judge D'Amico. In the last budget cycle, two of the administrative judges were given raises. D'Amico was left out of that raise, even though he's been working for this county about 10 times longer than one of those administrative judges. And just so I'm clear, I'm not in any way diminishing the hard work that those other two have done. Doing great work. We really appreciate that. Judge D'Amico, as you know, works for the criminal judges, so he reports to 7 of us. That's not always an easy thing to do. He covers our dockets for us when we are not available because we're in trial or ill or away on vacation. Sometimes he's covering 3 or 4 dockets at a time. He works exceptionally hard for the Board of Judges as their representative on the Belmont Board. He works in the OCA committee meeting. When we needed to develop a contract defender program that would give you cost savings for indigent defense in the felony court, he was a point man for that. He has helped us recently develop procedures to keep us functioning during this time where we're not allowed to have court dockets in person at the courthouse. And that was a huge endeavor where he worked hand in hand with Sheriff Henderson's folks, the defense bar, as our representative, to really just get the technology up and going so that we can continue to have our dockets. He works PT court almost every day. 9 of the last 10 Christmases, he was there in the jail doing PT. He probably wanted to be with his family. He really deserves to be at the same level as those other administrative judges. We tried to bring this to the court when we found out about this 6 or 7 months ago. We were asked to hold off on mid-year budget, and we were told it would be supportive. We understand that COVID things change and that this is not the county, but we just feel like it's the right thing for Paul to be at that level with his other AJs and contemporaries. We have not filled the position right away that we had in the Office of Court Administration budget, so this would be budget neutral. I'm also not going to replace one of the defense attorneys in my contract program that just got hired as the administrative judge. I think we can make it to the end of the year with 10 attorneys versus 11. Given the production environment. challenged because of COVID, so realizing the county can significantly save them as well.
If you would come up, Judge.
Well, over at the jail, we didn't have the capability really of doing remote. It was very difficult. It was very limited. And so between him and the representatives from Sheriff Henderson's office, they went to several different like-sized counties, including larger counties such as Tarrant County. It was a huge undertaking. But the good news is now that it's set up, we can do this from here on out. And so it will really enable us to from here on out, if attorneys feel uncomfortable about going to the jail, and I know the jail doesn't like outsiders coming in because it allows them to keep everybody there safe. He's been here almost 10 years, and we just feel like he is instrumental, the fact that he works every day. We do give him a stipend on the weekends, which he earns every penny, but he has really just been a blessing to the county, so that's why we're bringing it. And I know that this is a hard time for y'all because there are a lot of people that are hurting and suffering and, you know, maybe have loved ones that have gone through this. But he, at the beginning, before we knew how bad this was going to be, before we knew the extent of it, he was putting himself basically in harm's way going over there in person before we developed the system. And so I really appreciate him. Thank you.
I'm here just to express on behalf of the county court at law judges our full support, county court at law criminal judges our full support of this request. It's impossible to overstate how hard Paul works. He seems like 365 and 366 when it's appropriate. So we fully support this request.
I agree, and you got the money, the $3,000 to get through the year.
So Commissioner, that is in a part of the vacancy savings calculation. So we have a jury contingency fund. Well, we could pull it from jury contingency if you guys decided to do so.
What do the other two associate judges do? You said Paul is criminal. What's the other?
Work for the family court judges.
I say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Work for the family court judges, so they handle hearings and trials necessary to the family court, so that'll be their burden. And they work hard too, no doubt about it. But he's been here 10 times longer than one of them that got away.
Did Paul help put this new bonding system together and do all the stuff that's trying to?
He's been our point person in working to address some of the concerns that the county attorneys had and to try to keep us out of trouble with the federal judiciary. So.
And where are we on that?
We're in good shape. We've made significant changes. We're still ironing out the bumps. New procedures and new policies, and it takes a long time, but I think even BD would admit that Paul's been the point guy and has worked really hard.
They've actually started. We started last week. And
the policies and procedures that we drafted and then reviewed and revised somewhat. And also, if you recall, the court authorized to free additional people and individual defense plus additional associate judge. And he started last week, and so we implemented the bond procedure, the new bail procedures last week.
Okay.
My understanding is Thursday, I believe.
Yes, we did.
And also, as part of that, I would remind you, what's not in the bail practices, what the judges have agreed to, is the appointment of counsel as part of that. So that's a pilot program. It's not even a policy, but we agree that it is a good thing to do, given the current state litigation and the federal court.
Okay. I move.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All right, is there a discussion?
Judges and court, I think y'all are right. I don't know if there's not many people in the county that work as hard as Judge D'Amico does. As we talked, Phil, I think it's a bad time, and my vote has nothing to do with my confidence in him or his ability or what he's worth or what he. I think he's a fantastic employee. But I can't vote yes for one person and no for everybody else. I think that it's just a bad time for county employees to be seeking raises when There's so many people hurting in our county, and, you know, they pay our salaries. So hopefully y'all will understand. But Judge Mychalk, you know how much I think of him and you and all of y'all. So thank y'all.
You know, Judge Grant, we had this conversation. Talked about it a couple times with the board also over the phone. And, you know, entering into the year, and we're approaching our halfway mark, say, you were great. You talked everybody into doing it. And the problem is that because we all feel the same way. I echo what Commissioner Nowak says, and obviously we want to treat people the same. But all the stuff that he does, what a good guy he is, how he's been a great support, obviously supported by the other judges who are here. Thank you for being here. The difficulty for me is, again, we have taken the position that whether or not it gets voted in favor of, you know, or is against. And you have every right to bring any issue, as we said last Commissioner's Court, any time as elected officials. You have standing to be able to come and do this. And it doesn't mean necessarily it would be approved, but I don't think there's anybody here who would disagree with Commissioner Nowak about what a good guy he is and how necessary he is and the good things that he's done, especially in this. From my perspective, in the spirit of what has taken place, what we have previously done, it's hard for me to move in this direction, given the needs that we have in the county. And we're seeing a comeback here. We're seeing a push as we move forward. And we don't want to just keep putting people off because we're just putting them off. That's not the case.
Sure, we understand that.
So, and we even had this discussion about, you know, so...
We understand that, you know, we had to bring it. You know, Paul Durham-Foy, we've done a great job, and we want to correct what we feel was an unfairness. But obviously, you guys control, so we just needed to bring it at the time. We waited a long time.
Sure. We appreciate it very much and respect you for pushing forward with the person that works with you. So any other discussion on this? All right, we'll vote. Do I have a motion? Oh, we have a motion and a second. So we all in favor? Opposed? I'm opposed. Two opposed, three in favor. Motion passes. Thank you all.
You're very welcome.
All right. Next item on our agenda, Amanda.
Good morning, Judge Commissioners.
Good morning.
We are asking for some guidelines for some advice for our going into our fiscal 2021 budget. We have, obviously, budgets are due June 1st by the end of the day, including any budget changes, any requests for position changes, new positions, etc. We have gotten quite a few salary upgrades, position upgrades, even new positions. And we kind of normally, the process, and you guys know, is normally Dodie and I review those requests, and we make recommendations to the court, and we bring you guys a spreadsheet, and based off that spreadsheet, normally you guys approve everything that's on that spreadsheet. That's what's happened historically. If we prepare a spreadsheet with recommendations or without recommendations, we just wanted to make sure that that's something that the court still wants to entertain, because it is quite a bit of work to do, to go through all of those. If there's some guidance that you guys want, are interested in us bringing a recommended list, or if this is not the year to ask for anything, we just kind of wanted some guidance from you guys. And I know it's unknown times right now what's going to happen. So we just wanted to more so get some advice, get some guidelines for you guys, just for the work, so going into workshop.
Okay.
Amanda, thanks for bringing this up. When you, Tammy, and I hate to put you on, kind of surprise you, but as we move forward with the budget process this year, in the past we have said the collection rate would be anywhere between 98 and 99.5%. With what is happening in the state and in Montgomery County, can you give us an idea of what percent you will be budgeting our collection rate at?
Well, This year is different because we're under Senate Bill 2 guidelines, and our collection rate is based on the higher of the prior 3 years. So it's going to be different. It's based on previous collections. But I will tell you right now, our collections is over 99% for the 2019 taxes.
Correct. But so are we able to make an adjustment based on what we foresee as potential shortcomings? Because if I were to bet $100 today, we're not going to have 99% collection for the 2020 tax year.
We can do that on the budget side, but as far as the calculation side, we will not be able to.
So
I think collections are going to be closer to 95, 96.
94,
and
95.
And at a $270 million levy, 3-4% is a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree with Commissioner Metter on that.
And I think to answer Amanda's question, well, I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, it all kind of goes together, and you and I kind of briefly talked about collections, and I think it's hard to, knowing that we could see, you know, $13 million shortfall just in collections, I would say that the answer would be no on most all of those. I think you would have, you know, give you ladies the discretion of knowing if something absolutely needs to come before the court. But other than that, I think this is going to be a year where it's going to be hard-pressed for raises and upgrades and new positions as well.
Yeah, I think I think we can probably, I don't know, I mean, it's a guess, but I think we can hold our own for the 2021 budget. And if people have, if they have openings and they have that money budgeted, I could entertain that coming to court. But as far as new positions within the county, I don't think we need a freeze right now. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go. We'll find out more about that in July. But when we get certified, and I think certified values are going to be up, but I agree with Commissioner Nowak, collections are going to be the issue. But to me, no new positions. If you have openings, bring them. We can see where we are then. But that's my feelings right now.
Commissioner, is it possible to have an understanding with everybody that we are looking hard at salary increases, at new positions, all of these things, because we recognize there's probably going to be a shortfall, while at the same time recognize that, especially as elected officials by the people, they represent the people, that if there is something that they adamantly want to talk about and want to bring, that they can, with the understanding it still may get voted down. But Judge Grant's a good example, and he knew up front pretty much what was going to take place here, I think, given our conversations. But don't know that for sure, but given my conversation with him at the board, at the open meeting last week, he just felt like he needed to do it and had a right to do it because he was an elected official and could do it and represented the people. And sure enough, what he just did passed. And so there are those elements that I don't think it's right for us to eliminate the opportunity for people to come, with the understanding that we're all on the same page as far as minimal revenue, and that we're going to minimize that and are going to have to cut back. So it's kind of a both ands.
Is
that possible? We're not helping
you,
are we? Yeah,
we need to give them.
That's not, I mean, because
I don't think we need to see a spreadsheet. I think if they feel strongly enough about it, they need to be right there where you're at.
Okay.
And convince
the
us
department
that they need to do
that.
I agree.
Official, him or
I agree.
That's just how it needs to be.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But with the understanding that they have the right to come here and do this, they represent a lot of. And so what they think is best for their department represents what they are, they are before the people.
Is that still not what you're looking for, man?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Dodie was asking, so departments that have the money already in their budget, as Commissioner Metter kind of alluded to, do you want us to go ahead and make those changes in this, or just bring them to you guys and see what happens?
Bring them
during the budget workshop.
That's what I think. Okay. I agree.
I certainly don't want to cut anybody's budget, but I can see that we're not going to add to anybody's budget. I can almost tell you that now.
Well, I already encouraged BD some months ago about the adjustments that they're going to have over there. So, again, I'm supportive of that.
Yeah, and BD, you probably, even though you'll know how I vote, there's somebody on your staff that you've been waiting to take care of, and it's seeing other people come up here and do it, and her being neglected time after time after time is, and that's my fault you did it because of me, but we need to take care of her.
Well, this may help clarify your discussion. I anticipate we're about to finalize our budget meeting with them later this week, but I anticipate making some reorganization. As you know, I've been in office a year now. It's an election, we know how that's going to turn out, so I do have some other things, but I'm eliminating the position. There are some movements within the salary. I'm eliminating the position, but we will also probably most likely get a budget overall,
mm-hmm.
both
yeah.
the salary and yeah. other items. So I don't know if that helps clarify.
I think what we all need to be looking at, all of us up here, is the situation is not going to be any different in July. It's not going to be any better.
Mm-mm.
When we start this budget here, it's not going to be any better than what it is now. We hope it is, but we're still going to have unemployment. We're going to still have people hurting. And if you've got that situation, I understand that, BD, and bring it here. And I will probably support that. What I'm saying is if somebody's wanting new positions and new this and new that, I'm telling you right now, I think the answer is going to be no.
It's going to be very hard. I think it'll be hard for us to maintain the budget we had last year.
Yes.
Especially,
sure.
And Amanda.
That's right.
How much I emailed you, or my staff did, asking how much the last year's budget, how much have we already approved in 2020 that's going to impact the budget next year?
Right.
What is that dollar amount?
And I have not got a chance to do that, Commissioner. We're trying to kick off ERP this week, so we've been trying to, you know, do some documentation for that. But I will get an answer for you on that. And I can bring it. I can even email, you know, your staff.
Yeah, I don't know if we sent you that Friday or Thursday, but in the future we'll try to get you a little bit more time. But when we ask, it's for a reason, and it's hard to answer these types of questions when we don't know how much has been approved, because that is a big impact to the budget. And honestly, it's something that we should be keeping a running total of. So, if we
can you get that to us, Amanda?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. We have no action to take on that particular item.
Did you get your answer, Amanda?
Yeah, if Commissioner Metz agrees with the same.
Sure. I do. We beat this about the county attorney's office. They it's your show, but it should have been taken care of some months back. No offense, BD, but I'll take it all day long when a department like theirs is going to give us money back. I don't think you can go wrong there. I'm good.
All right. Item B.
Consider discuss and take appropriate action on fiscal year 2020 court operations budget. So as you guys know, the auditor's office and I have been preparing the monthly, and my staff have been preparing the monthly financial report for court operations. Court operations includes indigent defense, contract attorneys, contract expert witness, anything related to indigent defense, and some related and other court costs. This year, we do expect there to be a shortfall again. Not as much as previous years, but we do anticipate that there will be a shortfall based on the number of filings year to date, based on how many indigent expenditures are already out there. We expect that. We're forecasting that to be around currently with the courts at the status that they are now, about $300,000 short towards the end of the year. So what we're asking is, instead of coming back in September and pulling $300,000 from contingency then, or whatever the number is at that point, we're asking the court from here on out to make a contribution from contingency to the jury fund for the next few months until we can get to September and kind of see where we're at. We do believe there's going to be a shortfall, and a lot of that is related to the contract attorneys seem
right.
really well. It's going to be the appointed attorneys, so anything above and beyond the contract attorneys, along with some of the juvenile and things like that. So We're coming, this is obviously the last court in May, and we do anticipate that there is a shortfall, so we're trying to give the court a little bit of a notice on that. We've been working quite closely with Chad and with the Board of Judges, been attending all of the right. meetings and whatnot. So,
Are you taking into consideration the fact that they moved the courts out June 1st, now July, is Texas Supreme Court, is that in that 300,000? Or does this go back to before all of this, when we felt like we were going to have a huge liability, we had some big cases coming in, some various things?
So both. So it does take into account both. So right now, case filings year-to-date on the district court side. I haven't pulled the numbers for the CCLs, but on the district court side, they're not as high as they were in 19, but they're higher than they were in 18, right? So we know that the 19 number is not going to be where we're at, but they are going to be a little bit more than they are in 18. That's one of the ways that we got to the fact that they're going to be about 300,000 short. The other thing is, yes, we do know that the courts have slowed down a little bit since then. Now, people are still making filings, right? The filings haven't necessarily stopped. They have slowed down a little bit, but they haven't stopped. And then we do have some major expenses, especially in the Ninth District Court and Judge Grant's court, some expenditures that we do think will hit that are big, more of the big ticket felonies.
Those are capital cases.
Yeah. Right, some of the capital cases.
And it's all indigent defense.
Yes, sir. Yes. I would say probably 95% of court operations budget is indigent defense. There's a small portion for some DA witness stuff and some jury cost and some other for the second judicial we pay out of that as well. But most of those costs in the court operations budget are indigent defense. And I have given you guys a backup of the latest court operations report. That was in my backup on the agenda this week. So if you that's our recommendation is to do 60,000 for the next few months.
And that'll make it wash by the time we come with the new budget.
That's our forecast, right? So if we need to come back in August or September and ask for more, then we will. At this point in time, I believe that the 300,000 will cover the rest of this year.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fortune teller, so I can't exactly, tell you with 100% confidence that that's going to be the good number, but Rakesh and I have reviewed the numbers, and that's our recommendation.
But funding source is contingency.
The funding source would be contingency, and what we would do is we will file an amendment every month. So,
what is the balance in contingency?
$778,000. Yes.
And does that include the latest salary suite?
That's vacancy savings. I believe through March, so we have a little bit more coming.
And can you give us an idea, what's the total amount for indigent expense? Yeah.
$7 million.
Yeah.
It's a bunch.
Yeah.
So the amended budget for court ops is almost $7.9 million.
Wow. And what's the DA's budget? $9 million, $10 million? 11?
11, almost 12.
Almost 12. All right. The reason I was asking is I've been looking, and as a county matures and grows and gets to be our size, when you see a robust criminal defense or indigent defense program in a county like ours, it's not uncommon, unfortunately, to see that budget grow towards that of the district attorney's budget. Mm-hmm. So I think over time we're only going to see that cost grow, unfortunately. And while cost containment, may not be a good reason to look at this, I think our court is potentially this upcoming budget year, we might want to look at shifting costs from attorneys that we hire to an indigent defense Office of Indigent Defense in Montgomery County. So I think it might be time for us to start looking towards that.
Public Defender's Office.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
We have the Public Defender's Office. Thanks, PD.
All right. So, do we have a motion then to move forward on this item? Amanda has laid it out.
Is the motion to take increments from?
Right. So the motion would be every month memorialize a budget modification form to a budget adjustment from contingency to the jury fund.
I move unless somebody else.
I have one other idea. I mean, we know that we end up tapping into contingency quite a bit. There's 778 in there now. Why don't we just put the whole $300,000 in there now and be done with it? At least we know it's there. If we need it or don't use it, we can get it back. But I think instead of do it in
one
increment,
than another. I mean,
at least
do
it'll
it
be
either
there.
Way.
I don't know why we would make payments. I don't guess I get your
the idea of doing
theory here, but
it was just pulling instead of pulling half of the money from contingency now, spreading it out.
We are statutorily required to pay this.
That's correct.
Any way you look at it, $300,000 is in there. If we need more, we'll talk about it at the time.
I'll amend my motion to include transferring $300,000 from contingency to an indigent defense
second
line item now.
Have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank
Amanda,
you.
That was good work.
Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate that. All right, information technology.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We would like you guys to consider and take action on the agenda item as written.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this agenda item to everybody.
What we're looking to do, and I've asked District Attorney Lincoln to be here and the Sheriff to be here to support this, we are looking to open a position that is going to, for all intents and purposes, manage the digital evidence library that is growing and continuing to grow in Montgomery County. There's hundreds of terabytes of digital evidence, from phone dumps to video to images of computers when they arrest people. There's an enormous amount of this stuff, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. We're going to be looking for a program to manage these things, an enterprise class program to manage the digital library, and this person would be responsible for helping us select that and then over time managing it. The end result would be that we're going to take the burning of DVDs out of the scenario. Every law enforcement agency in the county spends an enormous amount of time burning DVDs to submit the evidence to the district attorney's office. So it would have an impact on all of them, a dramatic impact, frankly.
So an officer has to burn a disk and hand carry it over to the DA's office?
Correct. They burn two disks to bring it to the DA's office.
This will stop that?
It will. And then the other side of that is the DA's office will no longer have to supply that evidence directly to the defense attorneys.
Okay.
Because that's the other side of the equation. The defense attorneys actually have to come here and physically get the disk for them to be able to have it. So this would eliminate that entire process.
Okay.
Hours and hours of each case.
I move.
Second.
Discussion.
And this is funded out of your budget?
You're okay with it. It's funded out of me, right?
That is great. I vote twice.
So no extra yay this time.
You're on this?
Yes. I move.
All right. Any more discussion? We already have a second. Yeah. All right.
Nowak even seconded it?
We're going.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Commissioner Riley, I appreciate that. I take the same position I have with everybody else, given the situation and the optics to the county. And to what we're trying to do. And it doesn't mean that it's not needed. It doesn't mean that it won't happen in the next budget. And we're halfway through this. And unfortunately, we've gotten along this far. And we're going to continue. And we're going to need it. We know this. But I cannot vote. I can't go in favor of it, given where we've been and what we've done with other departments. That being said, we do have a motion and a second on the table. And we appreciate you bringing it to it.
For the 21 budget?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for 2 years, right?
Yes.
Perfect.
I'm gonna fund next year.
That's why I
move again.
Yeah, but here's and again, I'm not trying to get in your lane or anybody else's.
I'm just telling you, that's how serious this is, and that's how strongly I feel about it. So
okay.
I'll fund it next year. We're done.
We appreciate
Perfect.
It. All right.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One opposition. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Commissioner.
Doesn't mean we don't love you, though. All right. Emergency management.
Good morning, Commissioners and Judge. I have Rakesh and Amanda to help me with the first two items on the agenda here.
Yes, item A.
Yes, sir. So the first item is where, you know, last court we got approval that all the PPE and all the purchases we'll make as part of COVID-19 expenses would be centralized over to OEM.
Right.
And we would just hit the COVID-19 cost center directly. Now, this is a list of all the POs and all the expenses that were made by each respective department.
Right.
Within their own budget to be able to buy sanitizers, masks, and all that stuff. So what we had to do was we had to go back, pull all the POs, review the documents, make sure that those are all COVID-19 related expenses, and we put together a list of all the reclasses that we are proposing that we make from the respective departments and push the cost over down to COVID-19 cost center. The last page of the backup has a total amount of $361,694.80, out of which we've already paid about $212,000, and we've encumbered an additional $149,000. So what we're asking for the court is for y'all to approve that we reclass those expenses over to COVID-19 cost center, with a little caveat that for the ones that we haven't gotten the final bills yet, we might be getting some shipping and some ancillary charges. So when those additional charges happen, we will again bring those over to the court to make sure that we push those additional adjustments back to COVID-19 costs as well. But the whole idea is for us to get y'all's blessing so we can charge the COVID cost center directly.
So you're auditing this. You have
yes.
audited it. And and as we move forward as well in our process, after the audit, it's the commissioners then who make the final decision.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Who is it that goes, when you say audit, are you talking a financial audit, or are you saying somebody's actually going through and making certain that every one of these expenses meets the COVID guidelines as we understand them today or when it was expensed?
Yeah. So our grants accountant do the review, and they're following the strict FEMA protocol because we don't have 100% of the guidance from CARES Act just yet. So what we're doing is we're abiding by the strictest of the strictest rules from FEMA from back in the days. So as long as it meets that criteria and that sniff test, we're pushing the cost.
And I talked with Amy.
And it also goes to the committee as well. So our grants accountant do that. It goes to the committee. The committee looks at it one more time, make sure that it's all kosher, it's all good, and then we bring it to the commissioner's court.
You've also been in contact or in the process of talking with the Treasury Department, correct?
Yes, we have. And matter of fact, we have these calls, webinars, and we try to get more clarification about some of the potential expenses that might hit, just to make sure that we're headed down the right direction and try to only use it for as much as possible the items that are, you know, classified as an allowable expense.
Let me... One of the things that has been said in court today, and it's in this backup, people keep referring to CDC guidelines. And those are guidelines. They're not laws. They're not a must. And we have certain departments or certain areas in which we are spending funds, COVID funds, CARE funds, or the county funds, but... And then others were not. And it kind of looks like, you know, we're picking and choosing which of these guidelines we're going to implement or not. And I don't know that it's practical for the county to be able to adopt all of the CDC guidelines. I think we need more than somebody saying, oh, I'm complying with these guidelines when they expend funds. Because it would be impossible for us to upgrade every facility, every office across the county
but here's
to comply.
I'll direct your attention to something to help us with this, is if you go to the Treasury website, I guess is where it's at, it does have questions and answers. And it addresses so many issues, and there's going to be another one coming out this Friday. And so far, is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, that the items that are on this have been, or at least I'm assuming they have, this has been addressed with the Treasury. We know that there's some real basic stuff here, obvious stuff. But in the frequently asked questions and even in the eligibility of local governments to be able to take this, most of the stuff is answered. Is that fair? And I have a document here if anybody wants to take a look at it.
The spreadsheet that's part of the backup for this particular item is almost entirely PPE or supplies that were purchased by various departments starting in March and April to respond to COVID-19 within their department. Gloves, masks, sanitizers, cleaning supplies, various things like that.
Yeah.
The one item that we did receive questions, received answers back from Treasury that's on this list is a truck.
It's on page, I think it's on page 2 of the spreadsheet.
No, it's in page 4. Page 4, item, it's down on the, it's quarter way down.
I'm talking about on the spreadsheet.
It's the same one we're talking about.
Correct, page 4. And we received guidance from Treasury specific to that purchase, and there's another item on the agenda for another similar purchase.
What guidance did you get from Treasury on the purchase of a truck, Jason?
If the truck's being currently exclusively used to respond to COVID-19, whether it be to provide equipment across the county, pick up supplies, deliver supplies, move trailers, pods, testing supplies across the county.
How much of that have we done thus far?
That's almost entirely exclusive what that truck's used for currently.
It's already purchased?
Yes, sir. The truck is in possession of the county.
Did we buy it before COVID or after?
After.
Who paid for it?
Commissioner Metz paid for it out of his budget initially for OEM.
But what I'm asking is, you can say that truck is 100% used for COVID response.
We also received further guidance that if another disaster occurs within the county, for instance, a flood.
I know we can reclassify, but according to what I was talked with the county attorney about, it has to be 100% used for COVID. You can't drive it anywhere else.
The exact
right
language
now.
The Treasury said was substantially used for. They didn't say 100%.
And
substantially used for.
Okay. Well,
you got to go home.
Yeah, that's.
I just think buying a car for a COVID response is a little questionable. I don't believe that we know we're going to use that truck for other things. We know it's going to be repurposed. I think it was a good idea to have one for OEM, but to call that a COVID expense, I think, is inaccurate.
Well, they were having to use their personal vehicles. That's why
they
didn't.
We were driving to Dallas to pick up supplies almost daily with a personal vehicle.
I have no problem with us buying OEM a car, but to say that we're only using it for COVID, I think, is a stretch.
Well, you know, when it comes to capital investments, when it comes to investments in assets like this, COVID allows for that, and with their statement, with the understanding that after the fact, they know that we're going to be stuck with this vehicle.
Correct.
The truck's over at OEM?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. He's over there?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah.
So that's part of the spreadsheet. There's another separate item that I'll present in a few minutes. But what Rakesh is asking is for authorization to reclassify the items, the POs, within the spreadsheet that's part of the backup. It totals $361,694, with, as he said, the caveat that as we receive those final invoices for the encumbered items, if there's an adjustment that needs to be made, he'll bring those adjustments back to court.
If this will help in terms of a question and answer, may governments retain assets purchased with payments from the fund? And the answer to that is yes, if the purchase of the asset was consistent with the limitations on the eligible use of funds provided by Section 601 of the Social Security Act.
Correct.
So that you can make a purchase knowing that how can you make a purchase unless we turn around and sell it and give it back, which there's a provision to do that. You can, if you sell it before December 30th, you got to take the funds and give it back to the federal government.
No, Judge, I understand that we can repurpose this after COVID. I just know that this court has talked about buying a car or a truck for OEM for a couple of years. We haven't done it. Commissioner Metz bought the truck. It's been paid for. I just don't think it's I think we are purposely restating we're trying to make it fit into a COVID expense when it's really not. I would be happier just leaving it out of there and letting OEM use that as a vehicle for whatever purposes they deem necessary. It's already paid for. We don't need $45,000 that bad. Why have what I would consider a questionable expense on there?
You discussed this truck specifically with the Treasury?
I discussed not that specific truck, but the hypothetical, if we purchased the vehicle to move supplies, take pod trailers that have a test site in a box to be delivered to various points throughout the county. Treasury signed off on it, no problem.
It doesn't violate it.
No.
I can certainly see where you're coming from, Commissioner.
The $360,000 that's been spent by county department heads and department
heads. Yes, sir. Or encumbered.
Or encumbered, okay. Which we're going to get the final bill for.
Have y'all had any requests from any city, other municipalities
or any reimbursements or anything yet?
Yes, sir. We've had a few inquiries. The governor just issued some guidance on this a couple weeks ago, which started those inquiries. Our conversations with Treasury last week answered a lot of our questions, and we'll be reaching out to our cities and our junior jurisdictions here in the county by the end of this week and giving them some guidance on what we expect to
You're going to reach out and ask them to request, or you're going to let them request without reaching out?
No, we're going to reach out and ask them to request. Here's what we need to seek from you in order to get you these reimbursements and going forward for supplies if you need those things, how to handle those requests. So.
I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here. I know in item E you talk about overtime, but I think we've got some issues with JP's office and the constable's office concerning overtime issues.
I have a resolution.
Are you aware of those?
Yes, sir, I am. Okay. I have a resolution that's on the item I'll take up here in just a few minutes to address those concerns.
Okay.
But for this particular issue, this is repurposing.
Reclassifying the expenses that the various departments undertook during the response to COVID.
I move.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner, are you?
I just abstain.
Okay.
Thank you. Item B, Amanda will take.
Consider and approve paying out COVID-19 comp time for prior pay periods where COVID-353 was used. Authorize the payout to be charged to the CARES Act funds in an amount not to exceed $4,500. This is time that has already been charged. There's about four or five departments that charged some of their comp time to that code 353, which meaning it was related to COVID-19. And so we're asking that the court pay off that comp time, and then we actually would like the court to really, we don't want people to accrue the comp time. Comp time is a liability because if after they don't use that comp time after December 31st, then it could potentially become the county's liability.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
Next item.
Item C is consider and approve a partial remodel for the 418th Associate Judge in an amount not to exceed $50,000. The courtroom this particular judge uses in the 418th AJ Court, as it currently sits, to comply with the order from the Supreme Court and how they can resume operations starting June 1st, they would basically be allowed about five individuals in the room at a time without removing this wall and allowing the spacing of the desk and the for the attorneys, both opposing sides, and the various people that would be necessary to be in the courtroom. We did receive question and answer back from the Treasury specific to this item. Treasury said because we are trying to comply with CDC guidelines for social distancing that the remodel would be an item that would be allowed under the CARES Act.
Move.
And our internal building maintenance will do this. Why the amount is so high is there's potentially some asbestos related with the project.
Yeah. We may have to debate. The courtroom's okay.
Everything else, from my understanding, talking with Judge Gilbert, is all the other courtrooms are available and will comply without any necessary remodels.
Tim, you're going to do this, Tim? You're not going to farm it out?
We can't.
That's what I thought. All right, thanks.
The 457th is coming on whenever.
Is that courtroom ready?
Set up?
Yes, sir. That courtroom's ready. So this judge is actually, yes, sir. This judge is actually going to move into that courtroom temporarily while Tim and his crew work on this remodel, and then hopefully have them back over in there by the time the new judge comes online later this year.
Good.
Okay. Any more discussion? Is there a motion to approve?
Yes. Commissioner Nowak moved.
Commissioner Mader, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Item D is similar to the conversation we were already having. OEM is seeking a second truck. This will be a pull truck. Currently, we have four trailers, and we are still moving supplies across the county. We're making large deliveries right now for the OCA because they are getting ready to open up, and we need access to another vehicle. This was also in line with the Treasury's question and answers that we got last week that as long as it's substantially used to respond to COVID-19 right now, it is approved. The buyer's order for the truck is for $46,016.85. I put on here not to exceed $47,000. I believe there's a little title and licensing fees that will be attached to that, but it should come way under $47,000. And the funding source to be Department 650, which is the CARES Act fund.
So
yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Commissioner
Two questions. BD and Amy, I kind of want your opinion again. And how do we go from having no vehicles in OEM, and now we buy one that's exclusively used for COVID during this time or substantially. Now we're going to have two vehicles that are going to be used. I have no problem with the concept of buying vehicles when they're needed. But to try to relate these purchases again to COVID just seems like a stretch in my opinion.
Prior to COVID, OEM was not having to deliver stuff and receive stuff. And right now purchasing these items can be tricky where an item may not be available for several months if it's delivered to us, but we can find it today and go pick it up today. So we'll use a trailer and drive wherever we've got to go to get these things. Our current use, and I'm not going to use the term the commissioner asked me not to use last week, but our current use of PPE is substantially high because we're providing it to all departments across the county and then all ancillary jurisdictions across the county as well. But with OCA about to open, the amount of PPE that we're fixing to start using is going to substantially increase. And that's just in the PPE category. We have, as Commissioner Metz is aware, Commissioner Riley is aware, Commissioner Metter is aware, we've had test pods that we've set up in their various precincts to assist private enterprise as they set up testing sites. These include tents, cones, coolers, testing supplies, various things that are all in a trailer. We have four of those trailers right now that were already on site with no means to transport them.
What if I
them.
Said I would let you use one of my trucks exclusively during this time period instead of using the money now?
I have no problem with that.
And I'll do that. I'll give you an F-250 you can use.
For how long?
As long as I need it.
Can't argue with that.
Done.
Perfect. Next item on the agenda. Consider, discuss, take appropriate action on a resolution. Yes, sir.
I think it might be good to
you better get a motion
and get a motion and second.
I have him on the record. Will the minutes reflect?
I think we need to get a motion on that. Commissioner Ogden, would make that motion.
To reassign the asset for currently?
Okay. For use during COVID.
Okay. Now, is there a second? Did I just hear a second down here? Okay, now, one last bit of discussion. One of the issues that came up for me in this was, hey, is this going to be a driver for somebody?
No, it was a pull vehicle.
Well, that was the question. And because you got people using these vehicles going back and forth to home and everything else, and all of a sudden, while they're getting the stipend, now all of a sudden they have a car on top of that.
Correct.
Of which we're out on.
No,
so even if we use Commissioner Nowak's vehicle,
It would be parked at OEM. It would only be used
a pool vehicle
during the work
somebody
day.
Drives here.
Correct.
They drive it wherever they need to go.
Correct.
And bring it back and take their own vehicle
correct.
To the house because they're already receiving a stipend.
That is correct.
Out of all this discussion about what he's going to give you, you don't even know if it runs. You don't even know what it looks like.
Well, I may be back to ask
you don't
for
have a clue.
I'm still at the mercy of the court.
Commissioner
court
Riley.
To purchase a truck. I do have a truck available to pick up today if you were to approve this.
You may have to have that truck to pull his off the
yeah.
line.
Yeah, that could be.
The one I got.
Is this the water truck, Commissioner?
It is.
I don't want that old bucket truck that you have later.
It's going to be great.
If the court's willing to purchase the truck, I'm willing to go pick it up from the dealership tomorrow. So it's whatever you want
to
do.
But we have a motion on the floor to use Commissioner Nowak's vehicle. Does anybody want to retract that motion and go back to the purchase element?
No.
All right.
We're good.
Motion is on the floor. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
Commissioner
Nowak.
You're welcome. Glad it worked out.
All right.
Perfect. So the next item is to address the overtime issue that Commissioner Metter brought up. Last court, I brought an item before the court for overtime for various departments, JPs, constables, the sheriff's office, and some courts. There was language in that resolution that was restricted to evictions and eviction-related items. The county auditor and the budget office are asking for us to loosen those restrictions a little bit because the Treasury has said that almost any of the things that these departments are doing is going to be somewhat related to COVID, and they're going to presume it's related to COVID. So this resolution clarifies last week's resolution to include the county clerk, district clerk, OEM. I only have one employee in OEM that's eligible for overtime. The fire marshal's office, who's been instrumental in COVID response, they've been very helpful with the hospital district and the public health district with this. and then adding $50,000 for those categories, clarifying that it will require activity logs provided to the county auditor's office to be paid out. We still have to make sure we're complying with the requirements. And then further authorize all departments identified in the May 12th resolution to incur overtime expenditures for any public safety requirement in responding to or addressing the additional workloads as a result of complying with CDC social distancing guidelines, and designate all of these expenses to be the CARES Act fund.
We have a motion to approve.
But you didn't include JP and Constable.
They're included in the previous resolution. We're now expanding the use of that overtime with this resolution to be any law enforcement or justice office.
I move.
Second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item F.
Before I move on to F, the budget office will monitor the amounts that you've already approved in the previous resolution and this one. As we get close to those numbers, I'll come back and ask for additional authorizations as necessary. The last item, item F, is for the IT department. Currently, we have a number of departments that we're purchasing items for to allow them to continue to telework, including the courts. As Judge Mychalk alluded to, we did not have that capability to do remote work prior to COVID, and we've had to kind of scrape things together. IT has put together a list of requests and things that they would need in order to continue moving forward with that program. It has a funding not to exceed $2.5 million. This is something that the CARES Act specifically allows to be purchased to increase our capabilities of working remotely across the county. And I ask for the court's blessing to authorize IT with this resolution to purchase these items in an amount not to exceed $2.5 million and use CARES Act Fund 650 for.
Move.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it so much. All right, community development. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne.
Morning. That mic ain't on.
Yeah, can you all hear that?
No, it ain't on.
It's off.
How'd that happen? Okay.
There you go.
Sorry. Okay, my first item is to consider and approve and authorize Judge Keough to execute a home grant agreement with Easter Seals. That is a nonprofit who provides down payment assistance for low-income people. The people do have regular mortgages on these houses. They just need that little bit extra in down payment assistance to get them to become property owners in the county.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Number two is not the plan. It is the amendment to our 2019 action plan, which is the vehicle HUD has chosen to bring down the CARES Act funds to the county for us to implement response to COVID in the county for financial assistance to people. And the request is to authorize the judge to sign the documents related to the plan for the amendment to our 2019 Consolidated Action Plan.
This is separate from our CARE. We have a motion on the floor.
Second.
There a second. Any discussion?
These are CARES Act funds. These are separate from the CARES Act funds that the OEM's managing.
Right.
HUD has asked us, its entitlement funds, to bring them down and include them in the rest of our entitlement funds with other restrictions on them.
Okay.
And I have a PowerPoint to explain the actual plan, but this particular item is just to bring the money in. We have to do it first.
Okay. Do we have any discussion on this? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item C.
And now for the plan. And, yeah. Oh, right there. Okay.
That's it.
The commissioners received an email from me giving the specifics for your portion of the plan. I'm going to tell you now, I went ahead and did a PowerPoint because that changed after
you approved your individual pieces. And there, I'll go through the reasons why as soon as I can start the presentation. So the CARES Act, the same CARES Act that brought the money down to OEM brought funds down to community development. Our total allocation for round one is $2,416,459. It is specifically to assist residents who were unemployed or furloughed because of the crisis, and they are specifically to assist with the economic recovery in the county as a result of the COVID. The same rules that apply to CDBG apply to these funds, and the same rules that apply to our Emergency Solutions Grant apply to these rules, meaning for CDBG, at least 70% of the funds have to go to people who are lower than 80% of area median income. For an individual, that's going to be an income cap of $44,150, which isn't hard to do when you've been unemployed for 2 or 3 months, and a household of four people, that income would be $63,050. This is going to hit an awful lot of people in the county, including teachers and other people who you might not expect. It has to be a result of the coronavirus. We can't use it for new housing, sheltering, no equipment, and we cannot use it for general government. The homelessness prevention portion is also going to be used for rent and utility assistance, and it's for an even lower income group. It's for people at 50% or below of income, and you can see how low that income is, and that is the people who are really struggling. Those are our salon workers and many of the servers in the restaurants. We conducted a survey out of the department to 155 nonprofits and churches in the county. We also sent specific survey emails to agencies that had larger capacity to handle these funds. And in the survey, which is attached to the actual plan if you want to look at it, we asked multiple questions about what they saw the largest needs currently being and what the needs will be, and where they saw the most need in the county. And it wasn't any big surprise. Rent, utilities, and prescriptions were the top. Food was actually higher than prescriptions, and I'll get to that in a moment, why we didn't choose food for round one. East County was seen as having the greatest need, and West County came in second, with North County in third and South County at the bottom of the list. This map is a graphical thing that GIS prepared for us. I know it's hard to see the key, so I'll just tell you. The white in the bottom left corner are the best people. That's the lowest unemployment and the lowest poverty rate. We don't have any of that in Montgomery County, except for a teeny tiny little place that you can't really see on the map and turns out to be Bentwater. On the opposite side of that square, the dark brown, that is the most unemployment and the most poverty, and therefore the areas we will focus the most money on. As you can see, that's East County. So that next darkest brown, that's the second most in terms of poverty and unemployment, and so forth. And that beautiful sky blue spot in South County is the least unemployment and the least poverty in the county, and that, of course, is the Woodlands. My committee went through a great deal of hashing around and trying to figure out what we're going to do with the funds, what would be the most impactful thing that we can do. Based on the survey results and the feedback for the nonprofits, we wanted something that would take care of the problem for the people and be meaningful. We didn't want to give out 1 month of rent assistance and the landlords evict people anyway. And, you know, we didn't just want to be a little drop in a bucket. So we determined, based on the allowances that HUD made, to do up to 2 months of rent, up to 2 months of utilities, and some prescription assistance, with a cap of $2,500 per household, which is a lot, and a lot more than our nonprofits are usually doing in an assistance situation. Anything less than that, we think the landlords would still come back and evict, and 2 months roughly equals how long people were under stay-at-home or quarantine orders. See if I forgot anything else on the reasoning. We opted not to do mortgage assistance, as you can see, because mortgage companies are working largely with their people, and it takes a lot longer to foreclose on a house than it does to evict. And so we're hoping people are going to be getting back to work, and they're not going to need it. They can do a payoff plan to get back. It's the rentals that are the big problem.
Can the plan be amended to include mortgage? Because not all lenders are, there was a report out, not all lenders are working nearly as closely with their borrowers as you may believe. And I know some of the agencies that we're going to work with will pay direct to a bank or a mortgage company.
All of our nonprofits traditionally will do mortgage assistance. Mortgage assistance is going to eat much heavier into the funds than rental assistance will, so we'll help far fewer people if we're doing mortgage assistance, but we can do it.
I'm just thinking that I don't know if it matters if somebody is in need, whether they're a renter or an owner. The need could still be just as great, and I don't know that differentiating the two make a difference, in my opinion.
Okay. That would be an amendment whenever you vote on the plan.
In your plan, did you look to the questions and answers that were on the grant, the CARES website, that had to do with these things?
We looked at those. We polled our nonprofits who are experts at doing this, and we actually talked to other counties and cities in the region as well.
Did you take into consideration if the individuals, or would you take into consideration if the individuals were already in a situation where they were on the edge of being either evicted or repossessed? Because these funds are related directly to impact of COVID-19. If they're already 3 months behind, that's a little bit of a problem.
Yes, the guidelines, the details for how this plan will work include that it must be April, May, or May, June. It has to be directly related to the COVID, and the case managers will do it on a case-by-case basis. They're going to have some sort of an eviction notice as proof of crisis. You know, some people were very well suited to get through this. And some people, there was still one income coming into the house, and one person got furloughed. I mean, every household is a different situation. And these funds are designed to get to the people that are in the biggest crisis. And the case managers have guidelines that are attached to the plan for that.
Okay, just one last question. Because in the question answer, it doesn't say anything about mortgages, but it does say about eviction.
Mortgage is allowed.
Okay.
That's as far as HUD goes.
Perfect.
Our group had decided that mortgage was less of an issue because it takes much longer. And as people go back to work, they will be able to work out payment plans on their mortgage and get funds to begin paying their mortgage again and get caught up before any kind of foreclosure process could come to fruition. Whereas evictions are going to start on June 1st. And we are struggling, pushing to get through all these federal rules and get this money on the street by the end of June.
If they have back taxes in relationship to property tax, would that apply to this?
I'm sorry, repeat.
If they had back taxes, or if they had taxes that they weren't able to accrue towards the keep from being evicted, would that apply?
I don't know. We haven't gotten guidance from HUD on that yet. As a rule, we're not allowed to use our assistance to catch people up on taxes, and we don't, like with my rehab program, we don't assist people until they're caught up on their taxes. Yeah, but this may be different.
Yeah, well, the reason I ask that question is because you have a combination. Yeah, I know the answer. Yeah, we is because we have a combination of both the mortgage payment and the taxes in the same payment. And the taxes are revenue generating, which are prohibited for them to be able to utilize those. So as you factor all this stuff together, to be thinking in that direction. Just,
yes.
Just a thought. Anyway, proceed.
Okay.
Forgive me.
So on this next screen, you see the criteria we use to select the nonprofits who would distribute this funds. We will not be doing it directly out of our offices. That would be overwhelming and way too slow. So we based our criteria of selection. We were not required to do an RFP process or any kind of a competitive process that would take too long. We looked at capacity of the agency to handle large sums of money. And what that means is, did they have staff already in place? Are the staff already trained and know how to use federal funds and know all those rules? And can they float the funds, because these are reimbursement grants? That could we get coverage throughout the county? Many people are going to have transportation issues. We wanted to have at least one place in each precinct where people could go, where they didn't have to travel a long distance to get there for assistance. And did they have the capacity to do some online work? Not everybody has internet, but we wanted to be able to have both. And would they be able to administer these funds without any admin? Because HUD once again dropped the money on us with no admin funds associated with it, and no guidance about project delivery. Would they have to hire additional staff? The answer needed to be no. So we narrowed it down to these agencies. We actually narrowed it down to one more agency than this, but the Humble Area Assistance Ministries declined to take the funds. They determined that...
Who, Joanne?
Humble Area Assistance Ministries. That is a group we offered $200,000 to administer 5 zip codes in East County. Wow. In order to help out Mission Northeast. And they declined the funds because they would not be allowed to hire anybody extra. There was no admin money associated with it. So we then, at the last minute, had to go back and figure out what we were going to do with that $200,000 and still have coverage in East County. And we ended up splitting it among the 3 other agencies that were getting smaller amounts, which is how it impacted the rest of you. Let me move to the next screen. So here's your budget. As it currently stands, Society of Samaritans in West County, $265,000. St. Vincent de Paul, which is Conroe and Northern, they will be told to concentrate on northern parts of the county, like Willis, $265,000. Interfaith of the Woodlands, $265,000, with the request that they focus on Tamina, which is Precinct 4, and some of the areas of Precinct 4 that are in South County within their zip codes, which is 77385 and 386. And then $422,988 to Mission Northeast to acknowledge what you saw on that map, the heavy brown. And another $422,000 to the community, which I believe now it's actually the Crisis Assistance Center, countywide to fill in the gaps. We are requiring that these organizations work closely with one another and coordinate so that we don't have overlap and that we catch all the gaps in the county. My nightmare is to have money sitting in one organization that they couldn't spend out while another organization runs out in 90 minutes like Houston did.
Will you be checking that to make sure it doesn't happen? And if it does...
Well, it won't be me. It'll be Autumn. She's in charge of all this, but yeah.
But you're explaining it, so that's why
yes.
I asked you.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. So let's say one of these agencies, they do blow through their money right away, and another one, they are sitting on those funds. How quickly will those be redirected? And if one of these agencies runs out of money quickly, will they be able to come to you and say, hey, we have a greater need and have those funds shifted? Or how this is, you know, if let's say Precinct 4 needs $200,000 more than they've received and Precinct 1 doesn't, you'll be able to move that money around, or Precinct 3 needs more than what you're anticipating.
It will require a contract change. So that will just be coming to court and putting an addendum onto two contracts between two of the nonprofits within the plan.
But it can be done.
It can be done.
Okay.
It can. We're going to want to sit and make sure, you know, a little bit to make sure that the agency really isn't going to spend that money before we move it. Make sure that they've done enough outreach and marketing. I don't foresee in round one that we're going to have any problems. They're not even going to have to do any outreach. I think there are enough people that are desperate right now based on our phones that are just blowing up everywhere. Now, one question I'm going to go ahead and say is, why didn't I just move the $200,000 from HAM straight into Mission Northeast, since East County has so much need? And the reason for that is, again, these are reimbursement funds. And Mission Northeast has indicated to us that they can only float $150,000 at a time, maybe up to $200,000. So they would have to sit for a while, get reimbursed before they could continue spending. And so they're at capacity with the 422. And we didn't want the money slowed down by that. So that's why we spread it the way we did. Now, the second grant is the ESG grant. That is homelessness prevention. HUD's really pushing it for sheltering and rapid rehousing, which is taking homeless people off the street and out of the shelters and putting them straight into housing. We're not a big fan of that. That's expensive and costs a lot of damage. So another option was to use it for just exactly what we're using the CDBG funds for, which is rent and utility assistance to prevent homelessness and keep people from getting evicted. And so we have focused the majority of those funds on exactly that. We did give an option for rapid rehousing in the case of people who are in shelter or people coming out of the hospital with no place to go. So, but most of that is going to also be rapid rehousing. That money was entirely funded to the CAC for countywide. There was a reason for that. All ESG funds are required to be in a shared database system called HMIS, Homeless Management Information System. It is regional. In fact, it's statewide. It's kind of expensive to get into. It's timely to get into. And it takes a lot of training to be in it. And the CAC was the only agency that we selected that is already in HMIS and can manage that. So we went with them. It has a little admin associated with it, so they're actually going to be able to hire somebody to manage that pot.
And are they still subject to the same, they have to, this portion of the money, the ESG funds, are they still, they'll have to put, it'll be reimbursement process,
yes,
as well, and they're able to float that much?
They have assured us they can.
Because that's a big number between those two funds.
Over it is. It is. I was surprised.
Me too, because they come here saying they don't have any money. So have you seen their financials? Have you asked for them?
Yeah.
Okay, and just checking. It just seems like a lot.
This process has happened concurrently with our regular entitlement processes, so we've got everything that we've been looking at. This is what we think we can do in round one. That is a minimum number. That's if everybody uses the cap. Not everybody will. There is a round two. We're expecting that to come down any day now. And there is a round three. We don't know if Montgomery County will get any round three funds. Round four has been scrapped, as far as we know.
Is round two the same amount of money? Is it less, more?
No. Round two is half the amount of round one. At this time, we believe it's going to be formulated the same way, so we can expect half the money. It is also, the rules are changed, and it is to be focused on food, and it is to focus on elderly and children. That's why you don't see Meals on Wheels or Youth Services or any of those organizations in round one, because they will be who we select in round two to hit those requirements. Food bank, those organizations, keep us fed. We're in talks with them. But until we get the money and know what we're looking at, you know, we can't go any further than talks. Round three is expected to be the same as round one. but they will probably use a different formula for allocating. And so that's going to depend on how well Montgomery County has recovered by the time that gets down here. No dates.
Did cities receive CDBG and ESG funds as well?
They did. Any entitlement city. There's only one entitlement city in Montgomery County, and that is Conroe. They received 300 and something thousand. I've been in talks with Nancy McKeska because we didn't want to duplicate in Conroe, and she told me that they were not planning to do rent utility assistance at this time and that the city council was hoping to figure out a way to use it to assist small businesses. I'm not privy to those talks, and I don't know how they're going to do that since it is restricted to low income, but,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
God go with them.
Okay.
Joanne, this is an amazing presentation.
It really is.
I mean, it's obvious the work that's gone into it and the coordination you've done with the different agencies, and very impressive to me.
Thank you. My staff's been working very hard on it.
I mean, it shows, and I have great faith in your department to make this work, and it sounds like you're on top of it 100%, you and your staff both, but good job. I move.
Second.
Discussion?
I just have to echo what Commissioner Metter said.
Wow.
Great job, Joanne. You've done a fantastic
great job.
I think we can all say that. It was
absolutely
excellent.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thank
we
you.
We have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Whoa.
You got the sale done.
We got to take all that back.
Let's go.
No, you wanted to amend it to possibly include mortgage payments on a case by case basis.
With the amendment to it, with mortgage payments on a case by case basis.
I amend my motion to include that.
All right.
Second again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
So efficient. All in favor?
Good job. Great job.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Akesh, County Auditor.
Sorry, just trying to get my thingy out of here.
It's all good. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Item 15A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. B.
Item 15B, which is please consider the plan assessment for TCDRS for the plan year 2021 as attached.
Move.
So,
and second.
So our recommendation is to keep the county's match rate at 12.27%, consistent to all the previous years, just so we have a little bit of cushion in there.
Second.
Excellent.
Yep. Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Rick.
And
thank you.
It is important to note that we have over a 90% funding for the overall liability, which is really high for that type of plan.
It is. As a matter of fact, last year it was 89.2% and this year it is about 90%. So, which is good.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, it's great. Everybody's jealous of that one.
All right. Glad to see our retirement systems
Gilbert?
In wonderful shape.
As you approach retirement, no less.
Because I'm getting close.
Gilbert, right. Take it away.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning.
Our first item is change order for a Precinct 1 project at $58,944.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes, sir. We're going to pass on item B.
I defer it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we'll bring it back next week or next time we meet.
All right. Thank you very much.
And then the last item is to award a wheel loader for Precinct 4. Easton Sales is the low bidder at $150,000.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much,
thank
Gilbert.
You.
Okay, at this time we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioners Court to convene public hearing. Precinct 1.
Commissioner Metter, you'd like me to do that?
Please.
Consider the partial revision of unrestricted reserves A and B of Sorrento Bay Section 1 to be known as Sorrento Bay Section 2. The proposed application for a partial replat of unrestricted reserves A and B of Sorrento Bay HOA was mailed notice, no objections or concerns received private to the public hearing, but the plat is not ready for approval today. Is there anybody here to speak about that?
All right.
I don't believe there is.
And we don't need them.
So now consider the partial revision of Lot 38 and Lot 39A, Block 1, Falcon Sound on the Lake, to be known as Falcon Sound on the Lake, partial replat number 1. The HOA was mailed notice. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The plat has been submitted for Commissioner's Court approval by the county engineer under Agenda Item 18A. Is anybody here to speak about this?
All right. Then if there's no one to speak, we're going to reconvene our court, take appropriate action. County engineer.
We'll consider and approve the final plat of Falcon Sound on the Lake, partial replat number 1.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. For the record, Commissioner Nowak did not vote in this. Executive session. The court at this time is going to recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.072. Thank you all. We shall return. We'll reconvene court here from our executive session. BD.
Here. I'm going to ask the court for a resolution and order to defend on behalf of Montgomery County the lawsuit styled Toby Powell versus Tony Belanoski and Tammy McRae. There's a resolution and order that's going to be passed, and that's for us defending that lawsuit, which we believe is forthcoming, but Tammy has not yet been sued.
Move.
Second.
Tammy McRae.
All right. Yes. Great discussion.
Just the style, yeah.
I think the term defend is kind of ludicrous considering the lawsuit is baseless and they're suing the wrong dang people. Tammy McRae doesn't have the authority vested in her by the people nor the Constitution to provide that type of relief, and a goddamn mayor of a city in this county should know that. And if he doesn't, he's a fool.
So, Commissioner, we could also seek any and all.
Commissioner, tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'm although we all agree.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
We do, and Tammy, I apologize that this, I know it's baseless, but I know the stress that's been put on you through this process, and that's not fair. I think everybody knows that it's a political posturing move. And it's regrettable that the mayor took this track rather than going after the comptroller or the governor or the legislators, that's where it needs to come from. Even the appraisal district, is their guidelines are given to them by the legislators. It would take legislative action to change what's been done
right. As
far as appraisals go. Those are set in stone January 1st. And we will defend this as much as we can.
Absolutely. They have other options with a homestead exemption like the county has done.
Yep.
To provide relief for their folks. It's unfortunate, but we're there for you, Tammy. You can count on that.
There's no doubt we're here for Tammy. And there's no doubt that we tried to do our own due diligence when all this COVID began. I mean, I contacted Tammy, and I contacted Brandon Crichton. I tried to contact all of the representatives to see what could be done. We got the same answer for every one of them. It would take the governor calling a special session. It would have to be voted on by both houses. And then the public would have to vote on it. Well, that's not going to happen. But what I could have done, I could have done just like Mayor Powell. I could have come out here and claimed that I'm going to give everybody in Montgomery County tax relief. And I'd have been a hero. But knowing all along, I couldn't have done that. So we didn't do that. We tried to see what we could do. We couldn't do it, so we never made an announcement. And that's what he should have done. He knew better, and he did it anyway. And he really needs to be chastised for this.
I agree. And Amy, BD, when you guys begin the process of making certain that any and all legal remedies are sought on Tammy's behalf and that of the county's, make certain that sanctions are included in that. After, you know, the Toby Powell himself, as well as the attorney that filed it, if possible.
We shall, Commissioner. It's our opinion, of course, it's a groundless lawsuit. Do not think it should have ever been filed, and grieve that, parties on the plaintiff side should have known better. One point of clarification, we're representing Tammy McRae in her official capacity. We're not representing the appraisal district or Mr. Belanowski in his official capacity. And as you know, y'all know, and as I would expect the plaintiffs to know, anytime you sue an official, elected official in their official capacity, it is a suit against Montgomery County.
Right. Yep.
As well as Ms. McRae. But
well, BD, could I ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
If the appraisal district goes back to the taxing entities to ask them to help financially with the lawsuit, defending the lawsuit, wouldn't we be in a position to do that?
Yes.
As a taxing entity?
Yes. Montgomery County as taxing entity is a partial funding of the Montgomery Central Appraisal District.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of people think it's MCAD. It's Montgomery County Appraisal District. It's not. It's Montgomery Central Appraisal District. It appraises the property
but
in all of Montgomery County.
We're an entity.
We're one entity of six.
It's a bunch.
Yeah, 150 taxing entities in the county. Which points out one of the ridiculous things about this lawsuit. He didn't join all those other taxing entities.
They can contribute if they want to the defense of Tony Belanowski.
Yes, and probably ultimately under the Montgomery Central Appraisal District's budget, most will have
would
to.
Have to. So
including
his
Montgomery County.
His son not only is it baseless, but it's going to end up costing the taxpayers money no matter how this shakes out.
It could. Most likely.
It will.
Well, not only that, it's created a narrative that we in the county here are not listening to the people, that we don't care about the people, and it has taken, as Tammy mentioned, the reputation of the county. I mean, last year we just passed an effective tax rate. We've done everything we can to cut. First time in the history of the county, and then turn around and get hammered like this. It affects all of us here, and the reputation of who we are is Montgomery County, period.
Well, didn't City of Conroe raise their tax rate by 2 cents last year?
Yeah.
Their tax rate is just under a penny less than Montgomery County's. And when you look at the breadth and depth of services that we provide, it's not even comparable. No. And the fact that I believe their disability exemption is $7,500, ours is $75,000. They have a woefully low disabled exemption as well, no homestead exemption. If you live in the city of Conroe, you pay more in taxes to the city than you do to the county because of the homestead exemption that we have.
That's
pretty
exactly
fascinating that. Affairs.
Maybe
all right.
Maybe we need to let them do their own collection.
Hey, sounds good to me. Well, and we still need to make sure we charge them for the jail and all of the other services that we provide the city, and we need to do that immediately.
And we are starting a revenue workshop on that.
If we're such bad guys, maybe that's what we ought to do.
I agree.
All right. BD?
We do need
But yet, rest assured, we will go forward in responding to this as aggressively as we can, as the law allows.
Do you need any?
We do. We need a motion to
a motion?
A resolution in order to defend and proceed with defense of this lawsuit.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. At this point, are there any citizens who at this time would like to say anything? If not, is there anything miscellaneous we need? Yes.
Did the court want to take action on the with regard to the real property discussed in executive session?
Would you like to make a motion to approve a purchase and sale agreement?
Yeah, I can lay some groundwork.
I move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Is there anything else before we move forward? All right. We've already asked about citizens. Anything miscellaneous?
Judge, I just want to remind departments that the budgets are due June 1st by the end of the day, June 1st, and that by now most department and elected officials have received an email regarding some ERP training.
Yep.
If your department hasn't received that training, if you can please reach out to me and Amanda Carter, and I'll get them taken care of on the schedule.
And Amanda, right, anybody that submits the budget to you or a request to the budget past June 1st, will you make sure you bring that to the court? because they need to give you the time to do the diligence and put together the budget properly. You should not have to be rushed because of them, and anybody who's late, we should know about it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Is there anything else? If there's not, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. If you will all remain for a few moments, we now are going to enter into our Toll Road Authority session.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Toll Road Authority to order. Roll call. Everyone's here. Citizens, it looks like it's department heads and elected officials. Y'all would like to say anything about the Toll Road Authority? Okay. All right, we've got three agenda items. A is consider and approve Montgomery County Toll Road Authority minutes from special session dated April 28, 2020.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Consider and take appropriate action on change order number 3 with Spalglass Civil Construction Project, blah, blah, State Highway 249 Toll Road Project. Rakesh, can you refresh my memory what this is?
Looking at the backup, it's a decrease of $276,264.11.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Can I have a motion to
move?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. C is consider and approve and authorize budget amendments to recognize revenue and expenses related from previous 242 toll road.
Hopefully this will be the final one. We have estimated what we expect the 242 collections. I believe Linebarger is still collecting some of those for us. This is for the what we expect to get for the remainder of fiscal year 2020.
And what's that amount?
70, let's see. Give me a second. This is on the backup.
It's $59,976.
$59,000, what you said?
Yeah.
Have we already paid the people to take the signs down?
Yeah.
That was on the last toll road meeting.
Can I get a motion?
Move.
I need a second.
Second.
I got three motions and no second.
There you go.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Now, I'm going to declare us adjourned.
Thank you. All right.